This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana. I'm Celeste Quinn. Henry Frain is our technical director this afternoon. Are you interested in the life of Abraham Lincoln? Many of us are. A fascinating man. If the answer is yes, chances are you sought out places where Lincoln lived and worked. There are quite a few. Travel writer Don Davenport notes in his guidebook, In Lincoln's Footsteps, there are approximately 3,000 historical markers commemorating Abraham Lincoln or those associated with him in Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky. Davenport's book, In Lincoln's Footsteps, lists the best. The book contains maps, information about the sites, and tells you what happened at those sites and why they're significant. Don Davenport is our guest this afternoon. He joins us to talk about the historical riches to be found in Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky regarding Abraham Lincoln. Don, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Celeste. I'm happy to be with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You grew up in Freeport, Illinois, site of one of the great Lincoln-Douglas debates.
Oh, that was the Lincoln-Douglas debate. That's what my fourth grade teacher taught us, yeah.
Yeah, well, why did she think it was the debate? Was it just because it took place in Freeport?
Well, that was part of it, but also the Freeport Doctrine came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very complex political issue. That whole Lincoln-Douglas debate was a regional race for the Illinois senatorship that Douglas held, but it was based on national issues, particularly slavery, and that just got a tremendous amount of attention in those days. In fact, they had the Republicans had a reporter who just took down Lincoln's answers. Democrats had a reporter on hand that took down Douglas's answers, and then they combined the two.
Now, was it because of that fourth grade teacher that you became interested in Abraham Lincoln?
I did. She had, I think, probably a one-day lesson on Abraham Lincoln, and I was so surprised that Lincoln had been in our town. At the same time, there was a woman named Louise Neihart from Freeport, a local author, and she wrote a novel called Henry's Lincoln. It was for fourth graders, and the fact that Lincoln had actually been there, plus, somebody wrote a book about it, stayed with me all my life.
Hmm.
I have a signed copy of that book now, and it's one of my treasures.
Oh, wow. Isn't it great when a teacher can do that for us?
It is, and you know, I didn't realize it probably till 40 years after I got to school. It's always a little late in the game sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, it's not easy being a teacher, but look at all the ways that they do such wonderful things for us.
I think she had passed away by the time the first edition of the book came out.
Yeah.
But I was sorry that she somehow didn't get to know that she was instrumental in that.
Yeah. You're the author of many, many travel books. What led you to put this one together?
Well, I've done 8 books. One was a Green Bay Packers trivia guide, one was a shipwreck book, so 6 of them are travel guides.
Okay.
Basically, when I started in the 80s to travel a little more, I started writing full-time in 1981. And I went to Springfield and New Salem, and the stuff started to sell fairly well. Better than the average travel story in Illinois did. So I got thinking about it and thought, well, I've done a couple of books. Let's try this one. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Now, some places would be obvious choices for Lincoln admirers to visit. Springfield, for example,
exactly,
is a must. Are there sites that aren't so obvious that are also fascinating?
Oh, yes. There are two sites in Illinois that are the state historic sites that are original courthouses from the days that Lincoln rode the 8th Judicial Circuit. One of them is in Mount Pulaski, Illinois, not too far from you.
Right.
And the other is in Metamora, which is near Peoria. And those are just magnificent sites. The Metamora Courthouse is part courtroom, and what was the county offices of the day are now a museum. Mount Pulaski has been restored as it was. And they are just spectacular. They go back to the days when courthouses were really county capitals. A place in Indiana that is a national historic site, but people don't really know that much about it, is the Lincoln Boyhood National Memorial in Lincoln City, Indiana.
Now, where's that?
Oh, that's way south in Spencer County, about 20 miles from the Ohio River. Most people, unless they're involved with Lincoln, don't realize that he lived in Indiana for 14 years.
He grew up there, really.
Indeed he did, from the age of 7 to 21. That site is started out as a memorial to his mother, and then the federal government took it over in the 1940s. And it has a lovely visitor center, a small museum. There is a living history farm there that is open from roughly April to October, and they live there as the Lincoln family did. And that site is on the area, very close to the Lincoln cabin. The thing that probably is most impressive to me is that it is about Abraham Lincoln's mother. Nancy Hanks Lincoln was really the mystery woman in the Lincoln saga. And she died in Spencer County in the little Pigeon Creek settlement when Lincoln was 9 years old. And her grave is there. It went unmarked for 60 years after her death.
Yeah.
The Studebakers of buggy and later automobile fame marked it. But the sense of what I got there is Nancy Hanks Lincoln.
Hmm. His sister also died
there
as
too.
Well.
She died in childbirth at the age of 21.
Hmm.
She's buried in a cemetery in Lincoln State Park, which is right across the road from the National Monument.
Hmm.
So you can see both places at once.
Yeah. The sites that I've visited that are Lincoln sites, to me, they do remind one of how difficult life was.
Indeed. Particularly Indiana. Lincoln spoke very little of his birth mother. He spoke very little of the times in Indiana. He did describe the once as pretty pinching times. And I don't think life for Lincoln really improved all that much until he went to New Salem. There he had the chance to sort of expand his horizons,
uh-huh.
and he tried a lot of different things, discovered he wasn't a businessman, but he found out that the law intrigued him, and he ran for the General Assembly, was elected, and served four terms. And I think that's when he sort of came into his own.
Yeah. But life there was really hard, and even though it's a beautiful park at this point, you know, with wide sidewalks and all that.
Mm-hmm. It was a muddy place at the time.
You can close your eyes and, you know, stand at one of the reconstructed cabins and just imagine living in that little space.
Especially with, say, 6 or 8 kids, and people did that.
Yeah, and with, I don't know, how much snow on the ground, right?
Yes, indeed.
The winters would have been really rough.
Mm-hmm. But I think it was there that Lincoln found himself, because there he studied the law, and as soon as he passed, well, there was no bar exam exactly, but as soon as he was accepted to practice in Illinois, he left and moved to Springfield.
Mm. Well, let's back up to Kentucky.
Sure.
Where he was born. What's there in Kentucky that would be worth a trip?
Well, obviously the birthplace, which is a National Historic Monument. Probably no other place deifies Lincoln as much as the birthplace, and I suppose that's only appropriate. But he was born in really humble beginnings there in a very tiny log cabin. And they have a log cabin that for many, many years was thought to be the birth cabin. Now most historians will say, yeah, it probably wasn't, but there may be a log or two from it. But this little tiny, tiny cabin, and you can read statistics about how small it was, but until you see it, it's just amazing. It is enclosed in this grandiose marble and granite edifice, and there are 56 steps leading up to it, one for every year in Lincoln's life, and it's like, wow. It's worth seeing, by all means.
Yeah.
The Lincoln boyhood home of the Knob Creek Farm is also at Hodgenville, Kentucky, and that was in private hands all these years, and then in November was acquired by the National Park Service. I would imagine that will probably undergo some changes in the next year or so.
Yeah. When you were putting this book together, did you learn anything new that you thought was like, wow, that's fascinating. That's great. I didn't know that.
There was a lot of stuff like that. One of the things I was surprised about was I learned a great deal about Illinois history that I thought I knew that I didn't. But over the issue of slavery and states' rights again, Illinois was greatly, greatly divided. And the South was really, you know, so close to the border states that it was a whole different ballgame down there. And if you read the transcripts or even summaries of the Lincoln-Douglas debates and what Lincoln had to say about slavery in the North and what he had to say when he traveled in the South, it was just two different people talking.
Hmm.
That, of course, was a political move.
Yeah.
There are little tiny nooks and crannies throughout Illinois, throughout Indiana, throughout Kentucky that you just stumble across. In Dallas City, Illinois, I didn't mention this in the book, we tried to do places that offered a significant experience.
Right.
I couldn't do all these little markers, but in Dallas City, Illinois, there is a little tiny park bordering the Mississippi River. And there is a boulder there with a small plaque on it, and it simply says, Lincoln spoke here October 24th, 1856. That's all you need to know. And that just touched me, the simplicity, but the strength of that statement. And I think it gives a good indication of how revered Lincoln was, and probably still is in Illinois. My goodness, it's still a state holiday, Lincoln's birthday.
Sure.
We got out of school on his birthday. That probably made as big an impression on me when I was a kid as anything else.
Now, also, there's lots of things that you know, I'm not a Lincoln, really, I wouldn't even call myself a Lincoln buff, although he's a fascinating figure, and the history is really very, very interesting. But, you know, just some of the little tiny things that I picked up, you know, looking through the book. For example, this is something I'm going to look for next time I'm in downtown Decatur. That's where he made his first political speech.
Exactly.
1830.
Exactly. And you'll find that at, they call it Lincoln Square. And it's not hard to find because East Main and West Main run in there, and North Main and South Main run in there. So it's at the corner of Main, and Main. Travel writers pick up things like that. Yeah, there's a couple of statues there. The log courthouse that Lincoln practiced law in has now been moved to the Historical Society Park there. And restored. It sat there for hard times. And again, when you say original, it's hard to really put a finger on it. My guess is that some of the logs in it are original, and much of it wasn't, because the fact that any of these log cabins survived this long is amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they tore down, in particular in Kentucky, which was a border state during the Civil War, but they tore down original Lincoln buildings in the 1870s and 80s. And by this time, Lincoln was pretty well revered across the country. So it's hard.
I would imagine folks can find this in the bookstore, in the travel section, or in the Illinois or local history, area history.
Yes, I would hope so. It's been out about a month now, and it takes a while to get out. I hope they would find it in the Illini Memorial Union bookstore.
Yeah.
There is a phone number for Trails Books if they would simply like to pick up the phone and call that. Did I mention that?
Well, go ahead.
Okay, it's 800-236-8088, and that's Trails Books in Black Earth, Wisconsin.
Okay. Don, thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Don Davenport has been our guest. He's written a guidebook of Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky Lincoln sites, the title In Lincoln's Footsteps, and it's published by Trails Books.